WNST, Towson in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're now 2 months into this COVID thing here in Baltimore Positive. We actually had all the mayor candidates gathering for what was the April 28th election. We've now pushed it off, and this week we're featuring all of the mayor candidates here. Want to give a shout-out to Fadley's, where we shared a crab cake with our guest here in this segment. You can still order those crab cakes and ship them anywhere in the world. Also, curbside service down in Lexington Market when you're out doing your important shopping and bringing stuff home. Make sure you're supporting all of our local sponsors and friends, including State Fair in Catonsville, where Don can stop by and get the chicken and waffles and the shrimp and grits anytime he wants and some wings to go. I got to get out to Catonsville and do that. Make sure you're supporting our friends at State Fair, who are also opening a Mexican restaurant across the street. Good tidings to Evan. Also, Moeller and Gary Realty still selling, still showing, still closing deals, and you can read all about them. Catonsville and the Southwest Side, but all around, my dear friend Jeff Moeller, son of Don Moeller, doing that at Moeller and Gary. Don, you want to do the honors on this one? She's been with us several times here already in this year, and every time we get together, the world's done change, right?
I want to say it's not the same when we were together last time, Mayor. But we have former Mayor Sheila Dixon wants to be mayor again. And Sheila, I'm going to start with the same question that I started with last time. You had this job. You know how hard this job is. Why on earth does anybody want to be mayor again?
I know. Well, you know, that's how much I love this city and the people of this city, and how much I know that with the right team in place and my knowledge and experience in dealing with a government during a time when I was governing in a recession and trying to do a lot with little, and then but having success with that, with reducing crime, with putting extra money into the schools, with providing quality services in the city, with cleaning up the city, with greening up the city, and with moving towards an infrastructure of having a healthy city. And I'll be real honest with you. You know, if things had not gone the way it did, and you know, a couple mistakes I made with not disclosing a relationship, despite some of the things that people think actually happened, I would be retiring now. And I know some of the incidents that have occurred in this city, I would put every dollar I have on it that we would be so much further than what we are. And it is, and it's because, and I'm confident, and that is not about ego. It's really about humility and about understanding how systems work. And if you create an infrastructure and you begin to build on that infrastructure and not throw it away because it was somebody else's idea, you know, then the Freddie Gray would not have happened. The consent decree, we might have had a consent decree, but we might not have, because we would have been able to fix the police department ourselves, you know, realizing what it takes and being real honest and transparent. Along with the fact that after coming out of the recession, I would have had a lot more money than I had to really even do more. So that's probably the biggest reason. Secondly, you know, it's a calling for public service, and it's really about how do we work with young people to get them to understand that one, whatever governmental level you get into, you've got to learn how it works first. It's fine to just jump out there because you have all these great ideas, but you got to understand how your agencies work, what that means to you and representing them, what it means when you introduce legislation, the long-term effect that it could have, not just I introduced this bill for having levels of water increases or water payments, but not realizing what the long-term effect, I'm just using that one as an example. You know, it's like when Antonio Hayes was my legislative director when I was city council president, and he understood and knew, and Antonio and I used to bump heads all the time, but now he's a senator, but he knew where I was trying to get him to move. And that when I became mayor, he was part of our strategy team and helping reduce crime and going at Chicago and looking at safe streets. And Bill Ferguson, who was a teacher and came to work for me, and he was a good numbers person. And we realized that in order to track the money we were putting into the school system, we needed to take CityStat and create a school stat so we could begin to not only track data, but but monitor it and make sure that we were getting real results. So all that to say, that's why I rolled up my sleeve for this last time. You know, sometimes it's three strikes and you're out, and sometimes it's three strikes and the third time is a charm. I decided to get back into this.
Has this helped you or your campaign or injured? I would think for all of you, it's changed your campaigns dramatically. 5 weeks, TV, money. I saw an ad for you a couple days ago on TV. I hadn't seen a lot of that, but I've seen it more recently. But I think all of the campaign strategies that certainly all of you had the first time you visited with us, they've changed dramatically along with this virus, right?
It has changed, and as soon as we were hit with the virus, or even before it even came to Maryland, we began to look at strategies and plans as relates to the potential date changing, potential mail-in voting, potentially what we would have to do to reach voters beyond the traditional way that, in a lot of ways, I was very successful with in, you know, in door knocking and attending candidate forums, meeting at community meetings. You know, we've done some virtual meetings. I do a Monday and Thursday Facebook Live where we've touched on issues that affect our community now as it relates to COVID-19, but also just overall challenges and struggles and issues that we face, from health issues to mental health issues to children in school and technology to crime and public safety to education. So we've hit the gamut on Mondays and Thursdays with Facebook Live. You know, we've done virtual community meetings. We've added on a volunteer basis where members, myself and others in our campaign, have pulled our resources together to do food giveaways, so that folks would not have to keep coming out every day, for example, for their kids to go to the school to get the lunch, breakfast and the lunch, but try to provide them with a week's of meals that they could prepare at home. And we've been doing that for the last 5 weeks, going on 6 weeks, you know, phone banking, of course, and then looking at plans and strategy, because now we're going to be faced with a huge deficit. And so what do we do differently to move the city in the direction, because it's going to be a challenge.
Well,
you know, crime still hasn't stopped.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying crime still hasn't stopped. You know, I remember watching the news and hearing about in New York how crime had drastically gone down. And in Baltimore, the crime hasn't gone down. And so, you know, you have to raise those questions. Well, why hasn't it gone down when people are supposed to be inside, when people are supposed to, you know, keep themselves at a distance, you know, socially 6 feet away from each other? You know, why haven't we really done a grassroots effort in making more people aware of COVID-19? Because everybody doesn't watch the news. Everybody doesn't listen to radio. You know, of course, you know, probably Netflix and other things are booming right now. But, you know, you've got to balance how you reach people. That's why we did this whole effort on homelessness and encampment areas. And what are we doing differently because of people being so close together to address this issue? So it's, you know, how are we helping our officers to stay safe and healthy as they continue to do their job?
Well, let's pick up. You touched on so many issues there, Sheila. Let's take the one you've alluded to it several times. And that is, when we interviewed all of the mayoral candidates 5-6 weeks ago, the issue of financial solvency and fiscal stability never even came up. It was not on the radar screen. The economy was pretty strong at that point in time. Now, local government all across the nation are about to face unprecedented financial crisis. How does Mayor Dixon begin, if she's elected in November, to address, really it seems to me there are two components. It's the lagging revenues that Baltimore City is going to see, which is going to make it difficult for it to provide services, and then it's the need to get small business back up and running again. Give us a glimpse into a Dixon administration on those two issues.
So first and foremost, you know, I always believe that, you know, through this endeavor that we're experiencing that we've never had experienced before, you know, my heartfelt prayers goes out to those families who have lost loved ones as a result of COVID-19. I don't know anyone who's lost their lives, but I know of folks who've lost loved ones from other illnesses that have been affected in how they celebrate those individuals, you know. But number one, so that's number one. Number two, you know, we're going to face, you know, a huge budget deficit. You're right, a decline in city services. And so I've been there where I had a recession. And so we have to look at our agencies where the duplications. We need to consolidate services so that we can continue to provide the kind of quality services for our citizens. We're going to have to do some very streamlined efforts within our agencies and do some internal audits. We're going to have to, I'm going to have to talk to many of the staff who work within those agencies to motivate them to understand that this is not going to last, but I'm going to be asking them to do more with less. You know, there's a potential, we're going to have to do potential furloughs and layoffs. We're going to have to be creative in how we manage that. You know, I would definitely provide a buyout for those senior employees who are willing to, you know, take a buyout and retire. We're going to have to look at, based on people's salaries, one of the proposals that I have is, you know, those salaries that are $300,000 or more, we're going to need to reduce those by a percentage. And then those at $200,000 or more, we're going to have to reduce those by a percentage. And those at $100,000 or more, we have to reduce those. We're going to sit down with the unions, all of them. And because I've done this before and I've had to do it, where we say, look, I know we made a commitment to do 3% or 2% or whatever the percentages are. I want to hold to that, but I are not. But these are the timelines that we could potentially get there. But I don't want to just blankly say, well, you're just not going to get it. I want to let them understand and realize that I'm not going to be able to do it in 2021. But I guarantee if we keep moving in this direction, we can make that up with some incentive as well. We have to look at firsthand, you know, what are our priorities? We've got to educate our children. We've got to, you know, Kerwin, what's going to happen with that whole proposal that the legislators passed and what that means as far as the contribution from the city? Are we going to have to extend that out a little further and look at currently what the school system is being provided and streamline North Avenue so that we can put more resources and money into the classroom? Because of kids missing so much time, we might have to maybe extend the school day to accommodate the lack of learning that kids have gotten. I want to sit down with Comcast and other wireless providers to say, hey, we need your help in figuring this out, and we're going to need you to do it in a way where, no, you're not going to charge the city more money, but we need to open up so we can expand the ban on internet access as well as support our students with the type of technology that they need. So if a kid is out of school, because actually when you think about it, just based on 2020, for the last 5 years, we should have had an infrastructure set up in our school system already prepared and ready. So when a kid is not in school for either asthma or cold or flu or whatever it is, they could actually be learning online while that teacher is teaching. When I was mayor, we went after resources at the federal level, the stimulus, and we created a task force called the Recovery System, where we went after every grant we could get for assisting us with infrastructure, with public safety, but tracking that. And actually in 2007 to 2010, we were able to maximize probably more money than any other city in America because we tracked it. We had projects that were shovel ready. And we had a team of people that constantly looked at opportunities at the federal level. One of the things that Detroit did They spent $23 million to get both computers and internet services for their kids. We have to do the same thing. We have to fix that system. I would create a task force within the health department, a COVID-19 task force, where a task force and advisor with a health department will take the lead to not only deal with this crisis, but prepare for the next step and ask the governor to assign a liaison to work with the city's task force for sharing information, because he's been a great leader in this process and making sure we get certain information, but also looking down the road. What do our city agencies have to look like? How do we provide services to city residents where it's going to be safe and maybe differently than we've been doing it in the past? Those are just public safety. You know, we got to make sure that our that we continue to build on recruiting officers, but making sure that they are safe. We have to set up a system where we can do testing, where a person could get a test when they go a COVID-19 test, a coronavirus test, right at a public MTA bus stop. You know, we got to look different ways. Everybody doesn't have a car. You know, when I drive past Drew Hill Park right now, I don't see many cars out there going through to get the testing. Part of it is probably, you know, I don't know, it's because people don't have physicians, or they're not being able to be seen by the doctors, but we have to work with our institutions in Baltimore, because a lot of times the reason why African Americans, the disparity with healthcare is sometimes, you know, not aside from the hidden racism over the years, but we also have to start educating people. You got to have a physician, you know, we've got to find, connect them with some of the other medical resources for those who can't afford health care. So we got to partner with our state and our federal. If we go in our reserves, our rainy day fund, we have to be responsible in going after that. We have to sit down with the rating agencies and talk about, okay, we might need to use X amount of dollars. And in doing that, we've got to give them a plan, because I did it before when the school system had that $50 million deficit. I was city council president and Martin O'Malley was mayor, and we had to sit down with the rating agencies and we had to show them how we were going to put that money back to keep that rating, you know, keep that level, so that we'll be able to borrow on that. So those are just some of the things. So
that's all.
About public,
That's all.
Yeah,
just
I mentioned
that.
About the testing, you know, like public transportation, walk-in facilities.
Well, Sheila, I mean, bunk crime, the aerial surveillance. I live at the harbor. You know, crime is the reason people say they don't come and visit me. I don't know if that's true or not. From the counties, certainly it's something every citizen's worried about. What is your relationship with Police Commissioner Harrison? What are your thoughts about the future of what we're currently doing? And then thoughts about aerial. And to your point, crime's back up again because the weather's broken, right? I mean, the temperature rises and crime usually rises along with that.
Well, part of it is it never really went down that much in the last 2 months, despite, because our weather has gone up and down. But, I mean, I don't have a personal relationship with the commissioner. We have met on occasion. He probably has heard and probably has read, if he hasn't, my crime plan. I know he's probably done research on me as mayor and why we were able to get our numbers down. So I would sit down with the commissioner and talk about not only strategies and plans, but one of the things that's missing that I see from the outside, I might be wrong, is that the lines of communication, it's not just the police department. The state's attorney has to be at the table. Parole and probation, the court, the judges. You know, that's why I go back to, and this doesn't change, I said this from our very first meeting, the criminal coordinating council. People have to take responsibility for where we are weak and strong. We have to look each other in the eye and say to ourselves, do we all want to get crime down? It's like we've been talking about this too long, and we need results. And we have to have people to step up and be responsible for their respective agencies, along with doing preventive things. You know, we have a number of systemic things in our city. You know, we got to work with our kids early on to show them that there is another plan and another direction, no matter what their environment looks like. And a prime example are my nephews and niece. I mean, their environment wasn't great. They lost both of their parents to AIDS. Their grandparents on their mother's side gave them that love and affection that they needed. And we, on my side of the family, pushed the whole education piece, the structure piece, you know, the discipline piece. So, you know, so we can use that as an excuse about your environment, but we got to show them that despite their environment, the opportunities are limited to what our kids can do, but we got to start early on, and there's got to be a plan of action. When individuals come out of prison, they need to have a plan of action with their families, connected them with the kind of resources and mental health, with training. You know, the thing that I always say is that Baltimore City, and this doesn't change no matter if it's COVID-19, before or after, we have all the ingredients to be a successful city, but there's so many disconnects. And when you create infrastructures and put things in place to help individuals out to succeed, you can't just throw them aside. Part of what happens, and Don knows this, maybe it doesn't happen in Baltimore County, but there's too much political political games that are being played versus people laying their cards out.
Now you don't think that happens for the right reason. You don't think that happens?
I'm being a little sarcastic. You know, it's like the spy plane. Spy plane is now part of the city's crime fighting process. That's a small piece.
Why do you call it the spy plane? Are you for it or against it? Do you think at the end of 4 years of your term, if you had it, how many carjackings, murders, robberies we could be apprehended given that surveillance and given the technology?
So here's the question. The founder of this plane, and we had it before, and the numbers don't look, I mean, it doesn't look like it was successful. But here's the question. Why is it that Baltimore's always the guinea pig? Why didn't this get pushed in Texas or Cleveland or wherever it originated? Why didn't they try that out there before using Baltimore as a guinea pig? I had a big discussion with former police officers, defense attorneys the other day on my Facebook Live. I would encourage you, it was last Thursday, to go on and take a look at it. And they all kind of said the same thing. It is a potential tool, but it's not going to solve what we're facing right there. You also have to deal with people's right for privacy. If what the attorney, the defense attorney, he had to push to the police department to give him some information so that he could take it to court with his client to show that his client was innocent. They were trying to hide that information to have his client to become guilty, even though with the surveillance tape. So again, when I go in there in the office, I'll take a look at what's being done right now to assess, to determine if it's helping, how we're using it, you know, as well as we need to be transparent about it. Don't hide information that somebody might need for their client or in order to solve a problem if it's not going to help that individual, or if you're hiding it in the police department so that you're trying to hinder something. So again, I take a look at it and we'll have some discussion about it and move from there. But don't always use Baltimore as a guinea pig for things.
And I know you have to run, Sheila. I know you've got appointments backed up. But before you do, can you give us just a real quick overview? Two issues keep popping up. In addition to crime and grime, which I think you've addressed in pretty much detail, you also continue to hear in Baltimore, and you touched on it a moment ago when you said transportation. We have transportation issues, and we have affordable housing issues. Can you give us a quick overview of that before you do run to your next appointment?
We do have challenges in both of those areas. And as you know, transportation is a state issue. And I think part of what, as a leader and manager of Baltimore, we have to sit down with our state partners with our legislators who represent us, as well as the governor and the MTA, and sit down and come up with a strategy where we can provide better access to public transportation, if it's to get from point A to point B in Baltimore City, or to get from point A to point B in Baltimore County, or point A to point B in Anne Arundel County, you know, within the region. You know, we have the Baltimore Regional Council, and that was one of the committees that the county execs and me as mayor sat on, looking at plans and strategies about where the businesses were, how to get access, and how to make sure that we're connecting people to where they need to go. Part of why we created the circulator with the parking tax was to, once that bus comes in, to then connect as a free form of transportation individuals to get from point A to point B. So we got to look at that more comprehensively. We got to sit down and not just allow one entity to make the decision for what happens in the city. Because with this new plan that the governor put in place, it took away transportation in a lot of areas where seniors were dependent on catching the bus to get from point A to point B, because I don't think the city has looked at it comprehensively. You know, I've heard people talk about creating their own transportation system, taking the circulator and taking it out to Emerson Village, but the circulator was created with the funds for park, using from parking revenue, from parking, et cetera. And so it can be better utilized, and making sure that that bus connects to that, as well as looking at the region as a whole. As it relates to affordable housing, of course, we have legislation that's in place. You have the housing trust. But the other piece that I would add on to that is a land bank where we could maximize and look at certain communities that we have demolished properties in. Instead of having vacant lots and all these vacant properties around in certain communities, particularly in West Baltimore, we need to, the land bank would allow us to leverage with an individual or a nonprofit developer. So connect the CDCs, the community development teams within the city, along with developers, and allow them to clear, the city would clear that land, those liens and those taxes, and we would leverage that land or those properties with the individual so they could then go to the bank and leverage it. It worked successfully in Cleveland and Detroit, and I know it can work here in Baltimore.
Well, anytime you mention Cleveland, Detroit, and those other places that I've seen on the rise, I often wonder, how did those places pick it up? And there is science behind this, right?
There is science behind it, but it also is about looking at success. It's just like what I did when I was mayor, Mayor Bloomberg was mayor. I saw, you know, the stop and frisk, I did not support. Same thing with zero tolerance with Mayor O'Malley, because I don't believe that helps us to resolve it. You know, I'm a community policing, but I saw how they were able to eliminate guns. And I went to him, and the gun registry was a good example of what we implemented in the city. And we also tracked, we had police officers who are part of the police department tracking those gun shows, who's buying these guns, the illegal guns, how we register individuals and then work with them. Same thing with the homeless plan. New York was able to do a phenomenal job with decreasing homelessness. We created that 10-year homeless plan where you focused on putting a roof over an individual's head and then look at the kind of wraparound services that they needed. You know, sometimes it's not about creating something new, but looking at best practices. But here again, let me go back to something I said earlier, and that is, don't throw it away when you see something is working in city government just because it has another mayor's name on it. Build on it, because ultimately you get the credit for that.
Sheila, we appreciate your time. Yeah, and I know your time's short. We ran over, and I know you had another appointment. We appreciate you joining us along this journey. Thoughts about winning? Last parting shot? I mean, this is a close race, and I think all of the pundits, all the pollsters have said, we have no idea how this is going to go.
You know, right now, for me, it's about experience. It's about being able to manage. It's about knowing how city government day one operates. And it's also about, I would encourage people to go on my website, DixonForBaltimore.com. And last but not least, The ballots will be coming in the mail on May the 8th, and I want to push and encourage people to fill it out. Don't let it just sit there and get it in the mail. That's going to be so important, and that's what we're pushing, because during the 7th Congressional, the turnout in Baltimore City was very poor. People kind of waited to the last minute. Of course, we had the sites on June the 2nd, but I want to encourage people to fill out that bubble, mail it in, so that they can be counted.
Sheila, good luck. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. As I said to the other candidates, anyone who puts their hat in the ring and subjects themselves to all this kind of public scrutiny is to be congratulated. So all of you who are running and fighting to be the next mayor, the city needs a great mayor, and that's what Baltimore Positive is all about. So thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me. I always appreciate joining you.
You got it. Sheila Dixon joining us here, former mayor, running for mayor again. And as she said, vote. Make sure you're voting. Whatever you're doing, register to vote. Get out and vote. This is the year, and it's important for all of us. Don and I like to thank our sponsors. We vote for the shrimp and grits over at State Fair. I vote for the chicken and waffles. I'm just hoping Evan puts some fried chicken together and sends that over here in a little care package one day. Also, our friends at Fadley's, where they have crab cakes. They ship crab cakes. Their crab cakes are world famous for a reason. If you ship them, you'll find out. Friends and loved ones giving you the love back. Fadley's giving the love down to Lex in the market, as well as our friends at Moeller & Gary Realty. Jeff Moeller was my guest last month in the buyatoyota.com audio vault. Long tales about his tutelage by Don and Linda Moeller. So that was good stuff. Moeller & Gary Realty, closing deals amid COVID. No problem. They're still showing homes, closing deals. You can find them at Moeller and Gary. On behalf of Don Moeller, our former Baltimore County executive, as well as Sheila Dixon and all of the mayoral candidates, we had a plan to join them all together in one room. It didn't happen because of COVID. It's really nice to spend a little time with them here this week in long form and talk to them about running our city. We are WNSD.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are keeping calm. We're staying local. And we're Baltimore Positive.